Yeah, well, be a believer. Now, that's something that's lasted through all the years, right? Believing in the Indians. And,
sure.
And this year they are believing in the tribe. It is 840 at WEOL. Our Wahoo Week coverage continues with our Tim Alcorn, who's up in out in Goodyear, Arizona, where a lot of believers have... Tim, you see a lot of the folks coming out? Because this is they make the trek from Northeast Ohio to Arizona at this time to take in. For some folks, who you know, that's sort of an annual ritual for them.
It is, and from what I understand, not only in talking to people back home, but with folks here in Goodyear, there's been a lot of inquiries as far as making the trek out west to Goodyear, Arizona. So let's hope we see a lot of Northeast Ohioans here in Goodyear and at the ballpark. And we're going to continue along with our guests here in Goodyear, Arizona. Now, the last time I saw this guy was on a Sunday afternoon in April, when I had the privilege and really the honor of calling the Indians in the New York Mets game on the Indians Radio Network. And my broadcast partner that day was none other than Tim Belcher, who joins us here at the table in Goodyear. Good to see you again.
Yeah, good to see you, Tim. We had fun that day. You did a great job.
Well,
you want to hear
that.
A little bit of that?
Yeah.
What, are you going to play some sound?
Along with Tim Belcher. You got a couple of Tims today on the Indians Radio Network as we get set to bring you the rubber match of this three-game series.
Talk
a little bit about Corey Kluber and his mental toughness. He just seems to approach the game same way every single outing.
Yeah, he has a facial expression some days on the mound like he's bored to death. He's just so focused and so calm. He's got such a calm demeanor and a good heartbeat for the game. And, of course, it doesn't hurt that he's got great stuff.
2-2 pitch just inside, and the count has run full on Curtis Granderson. Leading off for the Mets here in the top of the first.
That's a total surprise to me, Tim. I did not know they were going to play that. I had a blast that day. And, again, I can't thank you enough. You are so professional and great to work with and just had a great time. So thank you.
Yeah, that was great fun. I apologize in advance for my voice not sounding quite as good as it did that day. I got a little bit of a strained vocal cord. And please don't play that clip for Corey.
All right, we'll hold on to that. Now, I worked with you on a Sunday in April. This guy right behind us, Mr. Jim Rosenhaus, he worked with you on July 1st in Toronto.
Boy, did he work.
19-inning game.
Yeah.
Now, I've called some extra-inning games in my day. I don't think I've ever gone 19 innings. Tell us about that day with the one and only Rosie.
Well, you know what? It actually, and I think Rosie would agree, it went a lot quicker than we thought, to be honest. I mean, it was a heck of a good game, and it moved with some pace. And, you know, all of a sudden you look up, and it's 13th inning, 15th inning, and then, you know, lo and behold, 19. Yeah, it was – I can tell you one thing. I was in need of some groceries by the time that one was over.
I mean, yeah, there's not a lot of time for snacks.
No, I get a little bit cranky when I don't have my food, too.
So what'd you do? You know, inning 17, 18 roll along and your stomach's growling.
Well, fortunately, as Rosie's broadcast partner, of course, he does every out of the play-by-play, so I got a little opportunity in between innings to sneak back to the press dining area and grab a snack, and if I come back and miss the first hitter, no big deal. He's got it covered. And occasionally I would bring him something.
Oh, man. Again, we're joined by Tim Belcher here in Goodyear, Arizona. Tim, special assistant with the tribe. So tell us a little bit about that. What your role is, what you're doing here in Goodyear as far as helping out.
Well, it'll be pretty much the same thing that I've done the last couple of years. During spring training, of course, I'm in uniform, as you can see, and help out in both the minor league and major league camp, mostly in the major league camp early on. Toward the middle or end of spring training, I'll go out and scout another club. This year I'm going to go out and watch the Brewers for 8 or 10 days and write their team up, kind of help out the scouting department that way. And then during the summer, go around to our affiliates, namely Columbus, Akron, and Lynchburg, the top three affiliates, and also do some outside scouting while I'm watching them as well. So I'll pick up a couple IL teams, a couple Eastern League teams, and I'll do one big league club. I'll do the Twins during the summer, and in and out of Cleveland periodically, and in and out of the radio booth again. I'm gonna join Rosie in San Francisco and Oakland in July.
Oh, very cool. Now, of course, you were the pitching coach. Do you miss that day-to-day interaction type of thing?
I do in some ways, and I've told people this. When I did that for the 2 years, I was amazed, in fact, a little bit surprised at the amount of competition that I felt each day. You know, because there's nothing like being on the field as a player, you know, especially as a pitcher. You're in the middle of everything, literally and figuratively. You're on the mound. Nothing happens till you pitch the ball. So that's exciting. And I thought, you know, how am I ever going to match that in uniform, not being a player? But as a coach, especially as a pitching coach, you're with every pitcher, every pitch. You know, as a player, a starter, most of my career, all of my career for that matter, you know, I pitched every fifth day. So I had 4 days where I could just kind of sit and watch my teammates and enjoy the game. As a pitching coach, you are in it.
Right.
100% every pitch, every player that comes to the mound from your bullpen or your starter or whatever that day. And I found that very exhilarating. But, you know, I like what I'm doing now, too. It allows a little bit more time for my family and home time. So it's all good.
You mentioned getting some radio work in a short time ago this morning right here on WEOL. We had Tom Hamilton in, and we were talking about the great Progressive Field moments because we were talking about Rajay's home run in Game 7. You were a terrific pitcher. You had a terrific career. Are there moments or two that stand out for you just from your bio, from times that you played where you go, man, that was a great moment?
Well, for me, again, you mentioned Rajay. It was a World Series moment for me as well. And I tell people it's funny because it was probably the worst game I ever pitched, but it was the best game I was ever a part of, and that was Game 1 of the 88 World Series when Gibson hit the walk-off home run against Dennis Eckersley. I started that game for the Dodgers, got knocked out early in the second inning. In fact, gave up a grand slam to Jose Canseco. Thanks to Gibby, nobody remembers it but he and I, Canseco and myself. My pitching line was the worst it's ever been, and on the biggest stage imaginable, World Series. But when Gibby hit that home run, it was the most exhilarating experience. There's nothing like it. I mean, the home run that Rajay hit, I mean – you know, just the whole setup of it, you know, the way the game had gone back and forth. You got Chapman on the mound.
And yeah.
An unlikely Rajay Davis goes deep. I mean, an absolute missile, too, as you remember.
Right.
Yeah, those moments are exciting. They're great.
When Gibson goes up to the plate, I mean, you know, the natural thing, he's hobbling
right.
up there.
Right.
I mean, what are you thinking? I mean, as he goes up there, are you thinking, can this guy – literally pull a rabbit out of the hat? I mean, what do you remember? Yep. What was going through your mind?
Rabbit out of the hat and spit the hook out of my mouth because I was on the hook for the loss. So it was a win-win for me, obviously. But yeah, it was. I mean, there's nothing like those moments, you know. And you know, if you play long enough and you're fortunate enough to be a part of just one, you're really, really lucky.
And before we let you go, kind of broadcasting and player combined, being in L.A. You were around Vin Scully. This will be the first year without Vin Scully. Just talk about what he meant to the Dodger organization and what he meant to the L.A. community.
There's no question that one time Peter O'Malley, former owner Peter O'Malley, Walter O'Malley's son, was quoted as saying that Vin Scully was one of the most important Dodger of all.
Really?
Because he brought in the listeners, the young kids and women in the L.A. area when they first moved out there with his style and his storytelling and things like that. And he really believed that. And actually, when we were on the road, our traveling secretary at the time, Billy DeLury, said that Peter would call on the road every time we checked into another hotel. So each time we moved from one city to the next, he'd call Billy DeLury, hey, everything all right? Is the hotel okay? The plane okay? The bus company treat you well? And how's Vin? That
wow.
was the first person that he asked for on every trip. Does Vin need to go to New York and see his mother? How's his mother doing? Get him on a plane. Get him out of there. Tell him to take 2 days off. He needs to. He was tremendous. And he was as genuine in person as he was on the air. And I know anybody in the business that's come across him, that's met him or had the opportunity to work with him would say the same thing. But as a player, he was very gracious to me for the 4-plus years that I was there. And you know, anytime there was an important message to be delivered on a team plane, for instance, sometimes bad news, you know, like, for instance, the death of Tommy Lasorda's son.
Yeah.
We were getting ready to leave on a trip, And Vin's voice came over the PA on the plane. And we knew, everybody perked up. We knew something big had to be said.
Really?
Because they asked Vin to say it. And he announced that on the plane. Things like that, you just don't, I mean,
wow.
I mean, how many broadcasters are placed in that role in an organization?
Absolutely.
As a spokesman, not only on the broadcast, but just for the entire organization. He was tremendous.
Wow, that's a great story. All right, got to wrap it up. You've got some other folks to talk to.
All right, good seeing you, Tim.
Good seeing you. Tim Belcher joining us here in Goodyear, Arizona, as part of our Wahoo Week coverage. So we'll take a quick time out. More to come. Stay with us on AM 930 WEOL.